You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
S to the A to the L to the Isha. Some call me Sally, others call me Seisha. If you don't like it, I'm gonna have to beat ya. Nah, I'm just kidding, y'all. Y'all, YNLL. I bet you all thought that Salisha couldn't spell, but now you know, and I got to go. Hey, it's time for the Salisha Show.
Hello and welcome, or welcome back to The Salisha Show. I'm your host, Salisha Thomas, and y'all, we're in DC right now. It is early. We're in the middle of previews and rehearsals before the previews for the Britney Spears musical. I am so thankful to my guest today for getting up. It's literally 9 in the morning. He's got his coffee and he got here before 9.
Old school.
And we were up late last night. Thank you. Okay, so let me give you my intro for my guest today. He's got a million Broadway credits. He was in Annie Get Your Gun, Oklahoma, The Wedding Singer, Honeymoon in Vegas. You guys, we're talking about like on Broadway, Escape to Margaritaville, which he got the Legacy Robe for.
It was still called the Gypsy Robe.
And also he was in one of my favorite Broadway shows, Something Rotten. I'm so freaking stoked about that. He also toured with Billy Elliot, Dr. Doolittle, Spamalot, The Producers, just to name a few. And he has countless regional productions. He also plays the trumpet. He's minored in dance. And okay, so here's the thing about him. There is something really special to watch a vet do what they do. And the person who I'm sitting down with today is so obviously a pro. I'm taking notes on the show and I'm also taking notes on him doing what he's doing. And when he goes on, when he is swinging in, when he is stepping in, when somebody's out of fitting, when somebody's out, hurt, whatever, he goes on, he does not miss a beat. It's inspiring. Please help me welcome my guest today. A swing in the Once Upon a Time, what's our show called? Once Upon a One More Time, the new Britney Spears musical, Matt Allen!
Good morning, everybody.
Welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me.
I feel like I had to convince you to come on here. I'm like, Matt, please let me get to interview you. And so thank you so much for coming.
Thanks for having me.
And you're funny. You're like, do I get to be on Black Hair in the Big League?
Well, that sounds like a really interesting show too.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. This space is like the Salisha Show. It opens it up so we can talk about all the things. So one of the first things I want to ask you is, for somebody who's been in this business for a minute, I still feel like relatively new and I'm still trying to figure it out. What is your secret to working so consistently?
I think it just comes down to, and I try to simplify it sometimes so it's not too overwhelming. It's just, you just keep showing up, because it does get very hard from time to time. Work slows down, or you have a couple of bad auditions in a row, or things just are shifting and you don't feel like you fit in where you used to, or you're trying to fit in right from the start, you don't know where you fit in. But if you just keep showing up to auditions, and you have to have a good support system at home too, because when you get home at night and you've had a few bad auditions, you need somebody or your family to lift you back up and send you back out there. But you just keep showing up. And I think throughout the years, I think a lot of the people that I was auditioning with early on, the business wears you down, and they found other things that made their lives just as happy, but it wasn't as hard. But I keep showing up because this is what I love to do, and I really don't know what else I would be doing.
Right?
So
I'm like, it's like you said, the business can be so hard and it can get you down. Have you ever had, like, looking at your resume, it looks like you've never stopped working. And we know that you can be in a show for a year, 2 years, even more. Like, I was with Beautiful for a total of 5 years. And so looking at your resume, I'm like, was there ever a break?
Sure, there were a couple of breaks. You mentioned Annie, Get Your Gun right off the top.
That's your...
And that was my Broadway debut, but I actually did the first national tour led to me joining the existing Broadway show. So I was touring on the Broadway national tour, but before I booked that Broadway national tour, I was in a rough place. I hadn't worked for a while. I was running out of money. I was waiting tables at the Delta Grill on 9th Avenue, and I was living in the fifth floor walk-up apartment above it. And
I know this life. I know this life.
I'm not sure I have too much, how many months I have left in this city that I can afford to be here. And I booked that, and I was able to walk into the Delta Grill and say, I gotta go. I got a national tour. Peace out.
Wait.
Yeah.
That's the dream.
Yeah, so there's been a couple of those moments along the way. And so it's a crazy life. But I've had some good luck, some good fortune, and some people that recognized me and maybe what I could bring to the table, and I just thank them so much. And
okay, so you're like telling your story, and like when I was doing some research on you, because I like to wait to do research because I get starstruck real easy, and I'm like, I don't want to know what you've done. I don't want to know. Literally, people are like, how's it like working with Emily Skinner? I'm like, so who?
Yeah, she's cool.
Like, we have a whole cast of like stars, but like doing research on you, I realize how much we've had in. And so you were in a first national tour that led to your Broadway debut.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was doing that, there was somebody who told me, they were like, what are you thinking right now, Salisha, like in the dressing room? And I loved my whole cast, but there was a couple. And I didn't want to say, she was like, no, what? I was like, I was just dreaming about how cool it would be to get bumped up to the Broadway cast. And a person said, that would never happen. That's not a thing. Don't even think about that. And then it did.
And it happened.
And it was so magical and gratifying. So what was it like for you? Did you think that you'd get bumped up? Was that a possibility?
I wasn't even thinking of that. To be honest, it might have been in the back of my head, but...
Because it was running at the same time?
It was running at the same time, which doesn't always happen anymore. But back then, it did happen a lot because of just the business structure. They tried to cash in on the tour because people would know it was still on Broadway. But we were actually closing the national tour while the Broadway show was still running. So I had only been out on the national tour for 6 months or so. And we closed in California, and we were flying back, and we had a layover in Denver, and my cell phone rang, and it was the production supervisor guy who hired me from the get-go for the national tour. And he said, hey, I wanted to see what you're up to. We really need somebody to fill in for the Broadway company. Are you available? And I was
what are you up to? You're like, we just closed.
Yeah, I'm available. I'm flying home. He goes, oh, great. Come in next week. We're going to get you.
They totally knew.
It was crazy. And
Matt, that's so cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So the cooler story to that is that when I did finally, a few weeks later, make my Broadway debut. You mentioned I'm a trumpet player. My trumpet professor from college had moved to New York and was playing lead trumpet in a lot of Broadway shows. He was playing lead trumpet.
In a lot of Broadway shows.
In Annie Get Your Gun. And in Annie Get Your Gun, the orchestra actually sat on stage in these risers because it looked, you know, like a big top circus. So he was on the top riser. And that was my position to open the show in a slow motion, like cowboy thing, putting on my gloves as Tom Wopat saying, there's no business like show business. And I'm putting on my hat and my gloves, and my trumpet professor sitting there right next to me. And he goes, oh, I can't believe one of my trumpet students finally made it on Broadway, and he's dancing in a cowboy outfit.
That literally gives me chills because it feels so full circle. And it actually leads me to my next question because, and this is another thing that we have in common. Before I'm going back to high school, you were definitely like professional level trumpet player. In high school, I was like doing band and theater, and I was actually better at music. And I chose acting. I chose theater, even though my heart was in music and mm-hmm. I was better at music. How did you decide between following your musician dreams? Like, you majored in music, didn't you?
I did.
Versus what you're doing now, making your living doing.
Well, as everyone knows, I got my degree in jazz performance trumpet. So I don't know what I was thinking.
You're probably good at it.
It's like the hardest, it's a harder business to break into than theater or musical theater. And it just came down to, because I was doing musicals on the side while I was getting my trumpet degree. It started in high school, and then I tried to give it up. And in college,
I tried to give it up.
And then I had a crush on this girl in college, Molly Olson, and we had some music classes together. And she's like, "Oh, we're doing Dames at Sea, and our Lucky just dropped out. And I heard, remember you said you used to dance, and you could be Lucky, and you could play opposite me."
Oh. You were like, I'm in.
I'm in. Yeah, it sucked me right back in. But Molly Olson, thank you. After I graduated, I had this music degree that means nothing. And to get jobs as a musician, there are no auditions. You just have to start working and knowing people. And there were scheduled auditions for theater. And so I thought, I'll give that a shot first. And
here you are.
Still giving it a shot.
Okay, so you didn't major in musical theater. You did dance as a minor, which is very evident, like watching you.
Oh, our dance minor program was mostly modern, but I was interested in dance as a kid. My younger sister started taking ballet class at a community college, and I would go and watch. And then this husband and wife team moved to our little town of Jerseyville, Illinois, and opened up a mom and pop dance studio. And my sister Kate obviously signed up there.
You're from Jersey?
Jerseyville, Illinois.
Oh, not Jersey. New Jersey.
I live in Jersey now. But Kate started taking class there, and Mom said, "Man, you've always been interested in dance. There's a boys' class you want to take.
Really?
You want to try a jazz class?" I guess that sounds fun.
Wait, that's great.
So then probably sixth or seventh grade.
So your mom, like your family, was supportive of
this? Yeah, always, which I have to thank them. They're still supportive. They're coming out first part of January to see the show.
Really? So. Oh, yeah. Okay, so my question is, if you majored in music, I'm sorry, I just want to get down to the bottom of this. Yeah. You majored in music,
correct.
You minored in dance.
Right.
You went into theater because of Molly. But I'm watching you and you're like really friggin' good. Like even down to the details of like when you're impersonating somebody. Okay, for those who are listening, when we were in rehearsals for Once Upon a One More Time at New 42 Second Street Studios, like in Times Square area, we had a David day. So our creative consultant, David Laveau, he's such a like, you could draw him out as like a character in a show. He has like a uniform almost. He's got his crazy hair and his glasses and his accent, which I don't have an accent. And he wears his black thing and he always wears his name tag in a certain place. And basically the whole cast one day decided to show up for Halloween dressed up as David. And it was awesome. It was hilarious. And David shows up. He's okay. So everyone was pretty much nailing it. But Matt, how dare you? I walked into the building and I was like, oh, do we have a new, is one of our producers in? Like, you were so.
It was ridiculous.
It felt so energetically realistic to being like, a person in power. And then I was like, oh my God, he's David. But before I knew you were David, I was like, I literally asked somebody, I was like, who's that? I was like, who is that? I have not met him yet. They're like, Salisha, that's Matt.
That's funny. I always tell people, I took dance. I have some technique, but I'm more of a mimic. And so that's when that skill really came in handy, because David is so fascinating to watch and listen
right.
to.
Right.
And I'd really been absorbing some of his mannerisms and his language and things just subconsciously.
Because
he's such a presence.
Yes.
And then when they said, oh, we're going to everybody dress up like David, I was like, I don't have time for that. I got tons of notes to do. Who knows who I'll be on for that day. But then that night I was like, I've got a few things in my closet that might work.
You had a wig.
And it just.
The outfit, you had the cigarette.
And cigarette.
The accent. Like, who is this guy? Because although it was hilarious, it was also like, wait, he's really good.
Oh, yeah, it was just fun.
Do you know what I'm saying? I hadn't gotten to really see you like play. And that, even though it was such, it was just a Halloween.
Yeah.
That
was fun.
Like, gave me an insight into.
It was a good play. Yeah.
What you are capable of. Something as simple as a Halloween day.
You're sweet.
So I'm just like, where does that, you say you're a mimic, like where does that, did you train for that anywhere? Like just
no,
pick that up?
Naturally in years of, watching people, and I stole some of those ideas from a buddy I went to college with. His name's Tony Visser. He's a master at doing impersonations. So I kind of took what he takes from when he does impersonations. He takes one little mannerism and all of a sudden he's that person. So I stole from Tony Visser. So I got to give him credit.
I love that.
Yeah.
So how did our show come into your life?
Our show came into my life. I think I was really late to get hired into the process because they always hire this last. And I didn't show up to any of the regular auditions because they were looking for young whippersnappers who could really do the hip hop stuff. And I'm not really that guy, but they needed somebody a little bit older, seasoned Bambi to do the dancing, but also understudy the narrator.
Right.
And that's where my agent zeroed in and said, hey,
this is you.
You want to go in for this? I'm like, yeah, let's go. And luckily it was a watered down dance combo. But then there was a little 8 to 16 count improv moment.
Literally my worst fear. You're sounding like you're about to be excited about
this. It's not usually a lot of fun, but I was like, these people are, I didn't know Keone or Mari, so they were new to me. I was new to them. But back in the 80s, I loved to break dance.
Oh.
So I still had some.
No, you did not do this in the audition.
Popping and locking stuff. And so I threw that into the little improv section, and I think I caught their eye.
Because Keone be doing that like.
He's a master.
He's freaking good. And also, P.S., you were like, I didn't know who Keone Amari was. I like started looking them up before the audition and read two sentences and was like, I can't look at this. Because I was getting way intimidated.
Yeah.
Way fast.
Yeah. They've done so much stuff in a different part of the business than I've ever been associated with. So I was like, I don't know. It's always exciting to audition in front of a new creative team because it expands your.
Right?
I've had the good fortune to work with the same creative team in for different shows. They picked me up for different things. But
that's
every
great.
Time you find a new team,
a new family,
that just means possibility of
for
more work. So it was really exciting to get in front of them, not to mention get the job. So I felt really honored for sure. Yeah.
Not to mention get the job.
Yeah.
I love what you're talking about because it does feel good to work. That is already a blessing that we don't take for granted. Granted, I always say granted like the rock, but sometimes I have felt in the past, like if the same team is hiring me, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Will anybody else ever like me? When another team hires you, it feels okay. Wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay.
Yeah.
Maybe
there's
something there.
Your peers too notice it because they're always like, oh, we'll always hire you, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And,
right.
And they're like, when I booked this job, they're like, it's got to be somebody you worked with.
It's the new team.
Okay, I have a few questions for you. Let's see, like rapid fire-ish.
Okay,
let's see here. Okay, do you prefer Broadway or tour?
Broadway now, tour when I was younger.
Really?
Yeah. Because I had an apartment in Midtown that I was subletting, or then I had an apartment in Queens, but I didn't really love living there. On tour, you could live everywhere and you get out of the city. I'm not really a New York City kind of guy. But now I have a life in Jersey.
Yes.
And touring is harder and it's easier to just
have your family.
Be with my family.
Your dog.
And go to work. And
love that. Okay. Your favorite show that you've done?
Favorite? Man, I'm just going to say Oklahoma.
Not Something Rotten.
Something Rotten is an amazing show and it was funny every night. And I could have
loved that show.
I was fortunate enough to be there for a year and a half. I could have done that show for another 6 years. It was fresh every night because the writing was so good.
It was so good.
I say Oklahoma is my favorite show because of the cast and the group of guys that I got to work with. And we became brothers. We loved each other. We fought with each other. We argued with each other. It was just, it's one of those special groups. So yeah, that's why I say Oklahoma.
All right. Okay. What's the biggest lesson you've learned?
Sometimes it's best to keep your mouth shut.
I feel like we're just going to leave it at that. That's a mic drop all on its own.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm here for that.
And just do the work.
Do your job. Hit your marks. Sometimes. Sometimes you have to advocate for yourself or others. And sometimes.
Sometimes just best to just keep your head down, do the work, keep your mouth shut. But definitely don't let somebody walk on you and don't watch somebody else get walked on. Mm. If you can do something, if you can. But sometimes
every now and then
it's
not your battle.
It's good to just fly under the radar and do the work. Got anything else?
Yes. You're like,
get off that.
Next question. Okay. If you had to hand out only three Tony Awards to our show, who or what department would you, Matt Allen?
Three.
It can be a person. It can be wardrobe, lights, whatever, like three.
Yeah. First and foremost, I think it has to go to Briga because she carries the show. She drives the bus.
She's
rarely off stage and she has a calm leadership quality to her.
On and off the stage.
Everybody loves to talk to her because she's so easy to talk to. Like when she does come off stage for a break, people are constantly coming over and talking to her. And I'm like, give that girl some space. She needs to breathe. She needs to get some water. Her instantly is who I think of. Secondly, there needs to be an ensemble Tony Award. And this show is such an ensemble piece because all of her princesses, the whole slew of ladies up there. This show is about the ladies and the message and what they bring and what they go through. So the second Tony Award goes to all of them.
Okay.
And the third, geez, we have an abundance of riches in this show. So
which one's it gonna be, Matt? Who's it gonna be? What's it gonna be?
Brooke Dillman.
Really?
Yeah.
I've been whispering that to myself in rehearsals. I'm like,
she has something. When she steps out on stage, the audience instantly, they don't care what she's doing. There's something about her presence. They suck it up and they eat it up and they want more. And they're so into her message. She delivers it so clearly.
Brooke is, yes. Yes, I have to totally agree with you on this.
I'm in awe of her and I watch her and I study her every day. And she's able to bring the really sincere, sensitive moments that make people think. And she's also the king/queen of the zingers.
Yes.
And she knows comedy and she knows how to just lay it out there and let it brew. And people, she's just got such a great grasp of the language too. Every word is enunciated just right, but not over enunciated.
She's so funny.
It's just great to watch her.
Oh my gosh. Okay, love this. Okay, two more questions. If you had to choose between having Sunday night off or Wednesday night off in your 8-show week, what do you want?
Sunday night.
Nice.
Yeah, because it gives you, it's as close as we get to having a 2-day weekend. And having Monday off is always nice because you have that day off when nobody else has that day off.
And last question, what track are you most excited to go on for?
Probably the one I think I'm the most right for, which is Narrator.
Narrator. Oh, I cannot wait to see you up there for that.
But just any track, really. But the most excited about Narrator. And I've got another fitting today, so
really?
Hopefully they might have a jacket for me. Okay. With those creepy little faces on.
Oh, yeah. Literally, fingers crossed. I saw Diana try on her costumes last night.
You were trying on all yours too.
Yes, it's like, hey, it's coming together. Yeah. It's coming together. Yeah. Matt, I'm so happy that you've sat down and talked with me this morning. I have so much love for you and respect for you.
Thanks for thinking of me and coming to my dressing room and plopping down the schedule and saying,
please,
which spot works for you?
When you come in.
So thank you, Salish.
And can people find you? How can people find you?
I have a really terrible little webpage
terrible.
I need to update it. It's got some old stuff on it, but it's mattallen.xyz. It's
not terrible. Yeah, I looked it up before he came over.
But I'll do some updates, so it'll be better.
Okay, that's perfect. Thank you so much, you guys. You heard it here first. This is Matt Allen and Salisha Thomas signing off.
Bye-bye.
That wraps another episode. Thanks for listening to The Salisha Show. See you next week, and don't be shy. If you love the show, please tell me why. Please rate, subscribe, and leave a review. Go one step further, tell a friend or two. Check out my site if you think it was the bomb. Pay a visit to SalishaThomas.com. One last thing before I relax. Shout out Josh Carey, and thanks, PodMax. I'm out.
7 Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.
If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.